This is John Fisher, and today we have as a very special guest Larry Bodine, who has really a tremendous background. He is published and has been the editor-in-chief of many leading trial lawyer websites, from the National Trial Lawyers to personalinjury.com, law practice advisor. He has a law marketing blog that has just tremendous traffic. And he's been the editor-in-chief of lawyers.com, which has 4 million visitors, unique visitors a year. And he's also been, you know, basically the who's who of marketing for lawyers. And the reason, Larry, first of all, thank you for being on the call today.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be here, John. Thanks very much.
Sure. Larry, the reason why I wanted you on this call was because the number one issue that lawyers have with internet marketing and their website is they focus on all of their accomplishments, their great settlements, verdicts, and everything that's about them, where they went to law school. But what you see on lawyer websites is very little really valuable information that consumers could use. And one of the things that you've done with all of the websites that you've published, that you've edited, and everything else is that you just are just a font of tremendous information. And what I'd like to do is sort of help get the keys in your mind about internet marketing, what lawyers are doing wrong, and what lawyers should be doing with their websites to get consumers not just to visit their website, but pick up the phone with an actual case and hire the lawyer. So I'll let you take it.
All right, John. Well, the key point is to, of course, publish fresh, original content frequently. I recommend that a lawyer's blog be updated at least 3 times a week. That may sound like a tall order, but I find many law firms that do generate new business are blogging that frequently. And the trick to it, John, is really pretty simple. You either focus on an emerging issue, you know, something that is new and not well understood, like, for example, a new court opinion or some legislation, or current events. You can just report current events and explain them. Another thing that attorneys need to bear in mind when they're putting their content online is to always include some sort of a call to action. The idea of a website is to engage people, so you need to, as part of your blog post, invite them to join an event, watch a webinar, listen to a podcast, download an ebook, something like that. And then another handy trick to generate engagement is that within an article, always link to another article within your own blog. So, for example, if you've put up a blog about an auto accident case, always include a link or a little pull quote off to the side to some other article on your blog you've written about the same topic. And then there's little clever things you can do that make a big difference, like in the footer of every article, it should link to some sort of a free offer, you know, an offer to subscribe, offer to attend an event, and, you know, find different ways to engage people. You know, it's not a billboard. You want to hook people and get them to spend time on your sites and ultimately become clients.
Okay, let's talk about the blog first. What is the value of a lawyer having blog? What should a lawyer blog about, and why is 3 times a week so important?
Well, there's a direct correlation between the frequency of blogging and the number of leads and clients you're going to get. And it's really very simple. The more you blog, the more you're going to get. The most successful form of marketing on the internet now is content marketing. So that means you either need to come up with a copy 3 times a week, hire somebody, or find somebody at least to in your firm to prepare some drafts for you. And a lot of it is all about, you know, offering some sort of a value add. In other words, if someone comes to their site, your site, and they're reading about a report you've written, you want to be sure to link it to some sort of a download, like an ebook or a white paper. So, for instance, if you're a divorce lawyer, you want to have a white paper that talks about post-divorce, getting your life back together. Or if you represent business clients, you know, a guide for new businesses. And the beauty of offering these downloads is you will ask people to request it in a form where they furnish their name, telephone number, and email address. So now you get all of the key information that you need to basically nurture a potential client and turn them into an actual client.
Okay, and that's a good point. But so let's talk about that a little bit. What is the value of having someone's name, email address, and their contact information if they don't have a case at that moment?
Well, it allows you to basically stay in touch with them until either they do have a case or they know someone else who might have a case. I mean, pretty much anybody who is going to a law firm website has already researched their legal issue. And now they're sort of at the second step of the process, which is where they've used a directory or something else, and now they're looking for a lawyer. So an important thing for attorneys to do is to demonstrate their expertise. And, you know, the way that you do this, of course, is not by talking about yourself. And as you mentioned, all the boilerplate, don't write about where you went to law school, don't write about all the bar associations you're admitted to. What you should write about are clients, and what you want to cover is in a case history. It can be a very brief little story where there was, a client had some kind of a problem, and that the client is the protagonist in the story, and you, of course, are the white knight who comes to the rescue of the client who had the problem, and then you basically spell out the result you got for them. So, the more you talk about clients and the more you talk about case histories, the more new business you're going to get. And the more you talk about yourself, the more you're going to turn people off.
So, Larry, let's talk about this a little bit. You talk about case histories that the attorneys have handled, but what about just general news? Let's say that there's a nursing home, a big controversy in your local town, but you don't have anything to do with that. Is that something, should lawyers be on the alert for relevant local news in their community that they can blog about?
Yes, absolutely. You know, an attorney should view themselves the same as a TV news broadcaster who is basically reporting some information. You know, they're not directly involved in it, but they're intelligent enough to find the news story and to comment on it. So, and just as you mentioned, you don't have to be involved in it at all. It can be some sort of a current event. And what clients are going to appreciate is the attorney's perspective. In other words, tell me why I need to know this, why this is important, and maybe, conclude with a few practical tips. It's just a really attractive way to write new material. And if I could add one other suggestion, video is really an important feature of a law firm blog. There's really no excuse now for not having video because YouTube now has what's called a webcam feature where essentially you sit in front of your computer, or what I recommend is go out and buy a $75 webcam so you get a good picture, and then you just basically do a monologue sort of just as you see on TV. You know, this is attorney so-and-so, and I want to talk about this new opinion where a hospital was found liable for operating on the wrong patient, something like that. Another thing that I got to say I'm having a lot of success with on personalinjury.com and the National Trial Lawyers is doing video interviews. You can use Google Hangouts Live to do this, and it's really very simple. If you have a Google Plus account, you can use the Hangout to connect with someone else who has a Google Plus account and conduct a video interview and edit it afterwards in YouTube. It's really a wonderful thing.
Yeah, that's a tremendous thing. And you can incorporate the video right into a blog?
Oh, absolutely. YouTube, under a share button, will give you the embed code. And that's the code that you paste into your blog, and it will cause the video to display. Another thing that's important for attorneys to do with their content is, once you've posted something online, That's just the first step. Afterwards, you know, I highly recommend that they use some sort of social media automation. I use Hootsuite, for example, so that I can just click the Hootsuite button in my at the top of my screen in my computer, and it will automatically set up a message that will go out on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, and LinkedIn. And that's what's known as providing social proof. You know, clients today want to see that you're active on social media because that's where clients are active.
Right. And I noticed that you have 23,000 followers on Twitter. So, number one, should lawyers be trying to get thousands of followers on Twitter? And what is the benefit to lawyers of using Hootsuite to put everything on LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook?
Well, yes, an attorney should try to collect as many followers as possible. You know, it's the same as having a TV station that can broadcast, you know, all across the state as opposed to just in your local municipality. And the thing with social media is to make it easy, you really need to automate it. And that's what Hootsuite does. It gives you one location to go to where you can put in the title and link to your new blog post, and it will broadcast it out in one step. In other words, it takes something that could take you 20 minutes and reduces it to something you can do in 30 minutes. One other little trick that I use that works extremely well is there's automation software called commune.it. That's commun.it. And it automatically analyzes the responses and retweets and favorites that you get in Twitter and recognizes the users without you having to do anything. It will automatically send out posts that say, welcome new users, and it will name them. And people love being named in Twitter. Or it will say, thank you, top community members, and it will list their Twitter handles. And it creates automation for it creates engagement for you automatically.
Yeah, the great suggestions. Because one of the things that I notice with lawyers with social media is they think simply having a social media account is enough, posting on occasions enough. But really, the critical thing is engaging and interacting, and not only that, being personable. Things outside of the profession. But one thing I noticed that is great about your Twitter account, you just do post after post with valuable information that has nothing to do about you, but just different verdicts, settlements, things that personal injury attorneys could use. And here's a question that I have for you. Lawyers on this call who are frustrated with their website, they're not getting any results. What are the two or three things that you'd say, right now, this is what you should do to start making some progress? Are there any tips where, over the next 30 days, lawyers could focus on just two or three simple things?
Well, number one, publish content frequently, at least two or three times a week, as I mentioned. Number two, put some sort of a value-added offer on your website that visitors can download by completing a form. And then the third thing I would suggest is to invest in what's known as marketing automation software. Some of the brand names are Marketo, HubSpot, or Salesforce. And what this allows you to do is send out an email with a link in it. And then when a person reads it and clicks on the link, the automation software will connect that visitor to your website with a person's name. So now you have the identity of someone with whom you can follow up, you can send them related articles, you can invite them to events, you can connect with them on LinkedIn, and it's really a way of turning your website into a business development machine.
And that's a great point. You think about all the great websites that you go to. How many of them are lawyer websites? Now, in your case, that's the exception. But really think about WebMD and Wikipedia and YouTube. They're just full of great content and information, actually just like personalinjury.com. It's just a great website full of information. And here's a website that I saw recently. I think it's called Brain and Spinal www.braininjury.org. A lawyer asked me to take a look at it. I did. It's full of like valuable references, links to other websites that are useful, and just really content about brain and spinal injuries. And as it turns out, it's a lawyer who runs it. It's basically a powerhouse website. And this lawyer in Florida gets cases from all over the country dealing with brain and spinal injuries because the website has nothing, really very little to do about him, but it has a lot to do, and I'm sorry, I think the site is brainandspinalcord.org. It has everything to do about providing valuable information. But let's talk a little bit about the... you mentioned a free offer, something that people, a call to action, something that a consumer could say, I've got to have that. What exactly would you recommend?
Well, it should be some sort of a printout or it should be a guide or maybe a list. And it should be some sort of practical, useful information. So, for instance, if you are a plaintiff injury attorney and you handle a lot of traffic accident cases, you could put up a list of the most dangerous intersections in your city or in your county. Or you could put up something that, for instance, tells you what to do after a traffic accident. And you can indicate that what you should do after it's been printed out is fold it up into three and paperclip all of your registration and insurance information and keep it in your car. So now they have a little printout from you that's with them every time they get into the car. So something, it can be an infographic. You really need to sort of sit down and anticipate what are the needs of your clientele and what are their motivations and what is some kind of list that you can give them that they can print out for free. That's how you engage people.
And Larry, you mentioned an automated follow-up sequence. You mentioned a number of companies, Salesforce, HubSpot. I use Infusionsoft. I'm a big fan of that. But the value of something like that, where you're not simply giving away an ebook or a white paper or something like that, but you're actually nurturing, cultivating, and following up with a new potential lead. But let's talk about that for a second. How exactly does that work, and can you describe the benefits of automating the follow-up process with people who contact your website?
Well, of course, the idea of automation is to think things out in advance and reduce the amount of time you ever have to spend following up afterwards. And, the key to that is obtaining someone's name and email address. So the way that you get that information is to put a form on your site where people can fill it out and they'll get something from you, something they can print out or something they can keep with them and stick in their wallet and keep in their car. Now, the other nice thing about this marketing automation software is now you can find out what else did the person download? What pages did they visit? Did they sign up for an event or webinar? So now you know a little bit about them, and you can sort of judge them and in terms of whether or not they're a lead. And what the automation nurturing software does is it follows up. So, for instance, if they went on and read an article about motorcycle accidents, the automation software can be set up so that it will send out other articles about traffic safety or motorcycle safety. Once you start to see these things, it's probably time to present a webinar on the topic. And, of course, everybody who signs up for your webinar, you'll get their name and email address, and you can add them to your mailing list. And once you have the webinar online, you can invite everybody to attend. You can take other steps, such as connecting with the client on LinkedIn or Facebook. Once you have that valuable information of the person's name and email address, it gives you a wonderful opportunity to send them more desirable, practical information. Don't send them spam. Don't send them, sales material. Send them more relevant information, and they'll be completely convinced you're an expert on the topic.
Okay. Larry, let's talk for a minute about Law Practice Advisor and exactly your work on that relatively new website. What exactly you did and how it generated web traffic.
Well, we basically started it last fall and took the traffic up very quickly by following the points that I just described. So Law Practice Advisor was updated every day. It was for attorneys, and it covered marketing and management and technology. And on every page, when you got to the bottom of an article, we had a little pop-up window where somebody could subscribe. And this is another automation thing. This was set up in WordPress, which is the most popular blogging software. And I installed what is known as a MailChimp add-on to WordPress. And what it would do is it would collect all of these email addresses, and then once a week it would scan through the most popular articles that had been determined by page views from the previous week. It would format them into a nice newsletter with thumbnails, a headline, a little synopsis, and automatically send it out at 10 o'clock on Tuesday morning. And it was a beautiful thing because it brought people back to the site if maybe they hadn't visited, and it was easily forwarded so that the list grew, you know, by 20, 30 people every week.
And Larry, let me talk to you about the content there. There were a number of different authors who contributed content, including me. And I think one of the things that so impressed me is the layout, the design, but especially the infographics. What is the value of having an image or infographics on a web page?
Well, what you're creating is a little branding moment. You know, people are more visually oriented than anything else, and if you can present your information in a picture, something that can be understood at a glance, it's much more powerful, and it conveys information much better than, say, you know, five paragraphs of text. So I always spend a lot of time making sure that I have an interesting graphic to go with the article, and I find them using Flickr. They have an advanced search option. And so what I try to do is, rather than, you know, say I had a story that was about hot news, well, you know, you can go to a stock photography site and get a graphic that says hot news or a picture of a front page of a newspaper. But to illustrate that, I went into Flickr Advanced Search and found a picture of a guy sitting in smoke reading a newspaper, and there were like flying bits of embers coming down, you know, as if a volcano had gone off nearby. And the whole point of the image was to make you look. That's all I wanted to do, was to just catch your eye and see that picture and go, what the heck is that? Now I want to read the article. And then, of course, once I've got them reading the article, I have a chance to engage them. I can include links to other similar articles so that I reduce my bounce rate and they stay on the site longer. And, you know, you do that with pictures. You know, the great thing about a picture is it communicates instantly.
So, Larry, let's talk about, before I let you go, do you work with attorneys in sort of evaluating, analyzing their websites, giving them advice and guidance on what they should do?
Yes, I do. I've been in practice, in my consulting practice, for 15 years, and I've revamped and redesigned dozens and dozens of websites. And what I am happy to do for all of your listeners is to give them a free content evaluation. All you really need to do is just go on my site, LarryBodine.com, and you'll see a little form there. Fill it out and say you want a free content evaluation. Tell me the name of your website, and I'll call you up, or we can do it by email, but I prefer to talk on the phone, and I'll sort of tell you what about your site is working, and what's missing from the site, and how you can turn it from something that's just a billboard in a cornfield into a business generation machine.
Well, that's invaluable. Is that the best way for our listeners to contact you, or do you want to give a phone number as well?
Sure. Call me anytime at area code 520, which is Tucson, Arizona. So it's 520-577-9759. And you can get my email and all my contact information just by going to larrybodine.com.
Hey, Larry, thank you so much for making time for this. It was extremely valuable. And I know that you just delivered valuable information, just like all of the websites that you work with. So thank you very much.
My pleasure, John. I appreciate being on your program.
Okay. Take care now.